Well, good morning. It is the 28th of February, the last day of the month here, 2022. Man, can you believe it? 2-2-8-2-2. I love it. This is PJ. I'm in the Lucy Coleman studio, and I found a box of some of the greatest radio programs that I've ever done in my life. And I'd like to share it with you. Many of you don't know my past history. And my past history as a pastor was not just pastoring a church, getting up, preaching, telling you what the Bible meant and all of that, but warning you, as an African-American apologist, I was one of the first African-American apologists that had a radio ministry that really made sense in trying to defend the Christian faith from the heretics and apostates that were now infiltrating the church and taking over. I like to play a presentation at the Olympic Grand Auditorium on August the 17th, 1997. That wasn't long before the church just finally got rid of me and put me out. They didn't like what I was doing because I wasn't playing up to their foolishness is what I like to call it. I want to play an uncut series here, and that's what I'll be doing on my own personal website here. And hopefully I'm going to buy enough room and leave it up. And so that for the years to come, you will be able to go back in time and literally have copies of these wonderful treaties for yourself. You can always go back and listen and say, you know, PJ told us about this. PJ told us that it would, get like this. Well, you know what? I want you to hear it, and I'm going to try to edit it good enough and so that you can hear it. I've been tinkering with the sound here, and thank God with the Logic Pro 10, I'm able to do this and put these things up. I'm going to ask one thing of you. One, please do not call the phone numbers that I mentioned. I'm not going to go and erase all the phone numbers on this. This is my website, and I'll put a little sign up under each cast. Do not call the phone numbers because, of course, I don't know who it's hooked up to now. And so this was done back in August 17, 1997, Clarence McClendon had leased, I believe, the Olympic Grand Auditorium. It's now a big Korean church in downtown L.A. And T.D. Jakes was the guest preacher that came. I sent my staff, who was it? It's Alcee and Mike. And I'm telling you, my radio staff was superb. I had Ralph here in my home office. We had phone lines hooked up where we could help people find good Bible teaching churches. This was well after I met my good friend, Dr. Harley Howard. And I just, you know, I enjoyed listening last night, Sunday night, to this. And I'm going to listen to it again as I clean the house, work around the house. And I'm going to, because I want to put it up on my website in a very special way. So I want you to enjoy this series. And this series is called Interviews That Do Not Inspire. All right, this is the way talk radio was done back in the day. Enjoy. I'm sure you will. Here we go. All right.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Pastor John Coleman. I'm Mark Ramsey. The focus of this program is to discuss the issues that affect the life of every human being. While using the Bible as our guide and foundation, we hope that you'll be stimulated by the topics of conversation and willing to apply them to your life. These discussions might make you change your entire way of thinking and living. Now here's your host for Living by the Word, Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you, Mark, and thank you for joining us tonight here live on KKLA 99.5 FM for 2 hours of stimulating talk radio from the biblical perspective. In a world of professing Christianity, the true believer must classify themselves as those who are totally justified in righteousness by that particular position that they have with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. This is what we call a divine absolutism, and it must be affirmed by the standard of the Word of God. Living by the Word ministry speaks to all of those particular absolutes. We as other true Christian ministries must look at God's Word as the highest standard which directs our lives as a particular Christian ministry. We cannot attempt to minister to others unless we define who we are by what we believe. Thus, we affirm ourselves as a body of believers as we live by the Word. Matthew 4:4 says, "But he answered and said, It is written, these are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." We welcome you to join us for the next 2 hours, and we invite you to call us as we discuss very pertinent issues that are, well, basically pertinent to the Christian way of thinking. We will continue with our thought patterns that we began with last week as we look at that particular crusade that took place in our city down at the Olympic Grand Auditorium. We will have numerous interviews played tonight, and we'll play a little bit more from Reverend T.D., and we're going to analyze his words. But before we get into that, we did receive some letters towards the ministry, and I have in the booth with me Brother Mike Coger and Brother L.C.A. Baer. And brothers, why don't you share with us some correspondence?
Sure, Pastor. First of all, we have a couple letters, and I'll start off by reading Sister Elaine Newborn's, and she writes to us, "Dear Pastor John and staff, God bless you and keep that living word flowing. Thank you for some wonderful programming. Unfortunately, there are so many people who cannot accept the truth of God. I guess they can't see the forest for the trees. With continued thanks to be able, with my small contribution, and your constant candle lighting in this darkened world that we are in, but not of."
We really appreciate that letter from Sister Newborn. She is one of our regular letter writers, and she sends those regular contributions to our ministry. And thank you, Sister Newborn. It's due to those continuous contributions that we're able to remain on the air.
Yes. And Mike, you have something to share with us?
Yeah, sure. Right now, I have a couple letters that we received through our email. That's livebyword@aol.com. And it says, this is from Brother Matt, and he writes, "I called on Sunday night and talked to you guys and was very encouraged by your commitment to correct doctrinal teaching of the Word. In today's supposed Christian world, where there is so much deviation from the true teaching of the Word, it is refreshing to talk to people who are right on and desire to make a change in their community. I went to Biola University, where the Bible is taught, and I learned there how to correctly interpret the Bible. Where did you get your training? I'm interested in hearing how you all developed this ministry. I can tell you right now, Matt, that I got my training from the man sitting across the table." Now, if you want to say where you got your training from, Pastor, you can do so.
Sure. A lot of people ask those kinds of questions, and we're not ashamed to share that. I was blessed to be able to sit under the pastorate of one of the finest men, I think, in Christian ministries that I've ever had the privilege to sit under, my late pastor, Reverend James Billy Stanley. I attended Bible studies every Tuesday and Thursday night. Attended church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night for approximately 17 to 20 years in that ministry. And then I was able to, of course, attend Talbot Theological Seminary, where I received my formal seminary training. And I went there and received a Master's of Arts degree in Pastoral Ministries from Talbot. At that time, they did, I think, one of the grandest job in pastoral ministries training for inner-city churches. And our apologetics ministry, of course, got started because
and God placed upon our hearts that we had to address pertinent issues of situations that were taking place in our community. And from that ministry, we developed into where we are today by living by the Word. I thank you for that question. All right, Al?
Sure. Next letter we have is from Sister Joanne and the rest of her family, which is the Brown family. They write us and they say, Hi, Pastor John Coleman, Mike, and Mark. It is me again, Joanna Brown, remember? How was it over there? Thank you for reading my letter on the air, Mike. I am also so happy. I especially enjoyed the topic of discussion two Sundays ago. It really clears some doubts in my mind, and I trust that you helped many others as well. Thank you, Mr. Mike Koger. Thank you so much, all you guys. By the way, I'm still waiting for a reply from Mark.
Mark, you got a reply. Mark, did you reply yet? Yes, he did.
And she has in letter, okay. Ha, ha. Right. And she goes on to say, I cannot wait for this coming Sunday. I am deeply satisfied to know that you and all your staff of apologetics are out and trying to see who is there corrupting the church and most of all God's holy word. These false prophets must be stopped. I thank God that there are people such as you guys that are not afraid to stop them and challenge them. That's what we do. If they want to even try to pervert God's word, let them try to do so in the booth with you. And she just says, well, I must go. Just as always, remember that your toil is never in vain whenever you work for the Lord.
That's interesting that she says that, because we do try to, before we talk about a lot of things, we try to get people in the booth with us to discuss the issues.
Sure, we do.
And haven't we already made attempts to...
We've made several attempts. As a matter of fact, I was still waiting on a response from some individuals over at the who were in charge of the Harvest Fire.
Right.
I sent over a letter, and I never got a response for someone to refute the claims that we're talking about.
But that's indicative of our ministry. What we do is we send out letters to these ministries where these people are saying and teaching these things, and the leaders never get back with us.
No response.
And I believe that it's a network of individuals telling these individuals, whatever you do, don't go down there with that guy and with those guys, because what they're going to do is we're going to cause the truth to pop out. You know, and that's what it's all about. We have these individuals that are supposed to be spiritual leaders in our community, but yet they will not come down to this booth and have dialogue or discourse with us. And we're not talking about people that invite themselves. We will not have people dictate to this ministry what they want to talk about. We dictate what we want to talk about via what people have already said through their ministries. And that's what makes us an apologetic ministry. We don't have you come in to debate an issue with us. We're going to listen, tape record what you say, and then we're going to ask you for an explanation of why you said what you said and to back it up with God's word. And we believe that that's what qualifies you as a believer. Now, if you can't back it up with God's word, you're hupsuckling God's people, you're a shyster, you're a wolf in sheep's clothing, you are not what you claim to be. And that is what we do in this ministry, and we do that to protect many of God's fine people.
I want to share a letter with you, Pastor, from Sister Robin Montoya. It's a very, very interesting letter when I read it earlier, so I think it's pertinent that we do read this over the air.
Great.
It says, Dear Pastor John and staff, I wanted to let you know that I'm listening to the show, and it is very enlightening. I am amazed that so many people are supposed to be Christians, and yet they cannot see light from dark. Mm. People are so enthralled by a man that they cannot hear the truth of what the scriptures say, even when it is pointed out to them.
Yes.
How blind. It also saddens me that they allow a so-called loyalty to a particular cause, a false doctrine,
right,
propagated by Satan to hinder their growth. Prior to your show, I was listening to the White Horse Inn, which comes on at 9 o'clock before
us.
Yes. And it is also showed false doctrine at its best. Too many want the feel-goods, and they are so, please excuse this, she says, stupid that
right,
they cannot even see that they are the ones with the itchy ears.
Spiritually blind.
I do not want you to think that I feel that I'm superior. I know that God has directed my path in receiving true word. As I began listening to the show, I considered myself blessed to be able to be one of your students. Once I committed on a homework sheet that I have moved closer to God. It's commented.
Yes.
Be because you have given the hard truth, the truth that I must mark my life against. I marvel at the love of God, His greatness, and His mercy. Thank you for being obedient to the word. My God has blessed me through your faithfulness.
You know, that's a very interesting letter, Mike, and that we began our brand new, as a matter of fact, our fifth class of Basics of the Faith on this Saturday. And that class already has moved up into 12 to 14 people that are taking that class on Saturday morning. And we'd just like to let you know that Brother Ralph is at the office there, and we're ready to take down your name, telephone number, if you are interested in continuing taking classes. Ralph is there. He's waiting to hear from you now. That number is area code 213-292-4415. If you're interested in the six Basics of the Faith class, these classes start you off in basics, and then we take you through discipleship, and then canonicity, and then hermeneutics. And we're starting off in some other classes and some of the other ones, and we're having such a tremendous time teaching these students that are hungry for the Word of God. And we really appreciate Robin's letter.
You know, since you're talking about classes here, I have another email here from Sister Great. Cheryl in Tustin, and she says, what class is going on August 16th? Is it for men only? You guys should think about having a basics by mail.
Okay.
We can do the reading assignments and communicate with our professor via email.
Okay. Correspondence class.
I'm already taking several accredited universities this way. You could charge whatever fee, and it might save you some time.
Hey.
She says, just a thought. Please don't take this as me telling people what to do. I'm only a woman in Christ, and I definitely know my place under the auspice of God and my husband.
Praise
Keep
God.
Up the fantastic work.
All right. And you know what? When we received that email, it was quite interesting because we'd never thought about that. Basics of the Faith via email. Man, what a challenge.
You talk too much for that.
That's right. There's not enough paper to take care of that. Listen, what we would like to say again is please call us at the office if you have any questions about our ministry. Brother Ralph is there, and we are ready to hear from you. And we would love for you to call us here tonight. What we're going to do is, let's see, we have another letter here? No?
Well, I just wanted to say quickly, Pastor, coming up, of course, we have the August 31st, we'll be visiting Faith Inspirational Missionary Baptist Church in Compton.
That's right.
So please come out. If you're in the area, please come out and share with us. It's an 11 a.m. service. You can call the office, or matter of fact, I have the address right here. It's 1226 West Compton Boulevard, and that is in the city of Compton. You can call us at the ministry, and I can give you directions from anywhere in Southern California.
Right.
Please come out and worship with us. Many of you haven't heard Pastor John preach, so you know he might be able to teach a little and scream at people over his radio, but you don't know if he can preach or not. So please come out and share with us on that day. That's August 31st.
And you will get an opportunity to meet all of us from the Living by the Word staff and ministry. We'll hopefully, Lord willing, be there in full force. We'll be able to talk with you and to fellowship with you. And also keep in mind, you men at the Simi Valley Calvary Chapel Church, that will be doing that men's retreat in September. We're looking forward to that. Also, a lot of you Baptist ministers, keep your fingers crossed. I may call you and ask you about the Henry Lyons situation. Are you ready to give me your answer? That's right, Baptist folk. I haven't forgotten about you. We want to investigate it. As a matter of fact, I just may fly to Denver. Isn't that interesting?
Man.
Me going to the convention to ask the president about that incident. You're listening to Living by the Word. As soon as we come back, we're going to continue with our discussion, and you'll hear from Mr. Jakes.
If you have any questions or comments about Living by the Word Ministries, or you want more information about the various classes that are offered, feel free to call our office at 213-292-4415, Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Maybe you're one of the many who can't stay up for the entire two-hour program. Well, don't fret. Cassette copies of the program are available for just $10. Just write down the date and topic of the program you want. Send your request to Living by the Word, P.O. Box 43967, Los Angeles, California, 90043. That's Living by the Word, P.O. Box 43967, Los Angeles, California, 90043. Use these cassettes as a tool for learning God's Word. Educate your friends who've been misled by heretical teaching. Let it be your way to support this Bible-based ministry. Remember, if you do anything, keep living by the Word.
Welcome back to Living by the Word. This is Pastor John Coleman, Senior Pastor, Teacher of Living by the Word Ministries. Well now, last week we were speaking about harvest fire or a harvest of liars. Our subtitle was sensationalism. We were asking the question, what do you think about church doctrine and how important is it? Well, we're going to finish many of those interviews that many of you were questioned about tonight. We're going to let you hear that, but as we do every week, what we're going to do is have this little short commentary by yours truly. We shall dedicate some of this time tonight to a few of the statements by Reverend T.D. Jakes that was made during the week of the event that was held at the Olympic Grand Auditorium. It is our wish that many believers in our community listen with an objective ear. Living by the Word Ministries will make no apologies as to the pain that many of you are experiencing while undertaking a serious thought concerning the issue that's set before us tonight. We do apologetics in a way that causes many pastors to clam up. And that's what's been happening here lately. You're clamming up. You aren't addressing the issue in terms of answering our request to appear on this live radio presentation. You've spoken with other pastors. They've told you not to appear, not even a call. Shame on you. We have written invitations to pastors, and they will not return our particular request. We find it strange indeed that those who proclaim out of context the caution not to touch the Lord's anointed. You know, when I think about that and I look at Psalm chapter 105, verse 15, let me quote that verse in this commentary because this is what they use. Do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. I would ask you to read the context of that chapter, verses 8 through 15, and you see that it has absolutely nothing to do with Christians or pastors at all. Now, these same men and women refuse to come in with an open Bible and to back up their so-called Christian claim of their beliefs. Simply put, there is no proof text to support the strange doctrine that comes from many of our pulpits today. I will also admit that there are many who pray that we go off the air. Listen, as long as God provides through the listenership these funds, we shall remain here doing what God has called us to do. This is a very exciting time to be alive in this ministry. There is a sense of being used in this particular ministry. We do not have a persecution complex. It is indeed a joy to do what we do here in this ministry. We know that there will be those who hate what we do. That's okay too. We shall continue to speak forth those difficult dictums that cause all of us to think. For in Philippians 4 and 8, it says, if there's anything virtuous, if there's anything of truth, if there's anything that's of good sound report, to think on these things. We will do that. I would at this time like to thank many of you that have sent in the donations, which assist us to do this ministry. We are in no way near financially secure, so we would pray that God will continue to work on your hearts that you send monies to this ministry so that we might remain on the air and do what we do. Now, in the booth with me tonight to discuss this issue would be Brother Mike, who did most of the interviews tonight, and Brother Elsie Abear. Both men were out there on the streets at the Olympic Grand Auditorium, and we were literally looking into the beautiful faces of the people in our community as we ask some questions concerning doctrine. And I guess the issue that we want to discuss tonight is, where did these answers come from that these people gave us? And I guess you can subtitle this interview, Interviews That Do Not Inspire, because I was not greatly inspired by the answers that the people gave. We ask a question, what is doctrine? We said last week that doctrine is a belief or teaching regarding theological themes. That is, they are tenets regarding the nature of God and how God works. Now, what we're going to do is we went off last week playing a tape, a portion of the tape. I believe T.D. Jakes was there. What night was that? Was that a Thursday night?
That was Thursday night.
Okay, that was a Thursday night that T.D. Jakes was there. What we're going to do is we're going to play a section right now of Mr. Jakes' sermon that the people were responding to, because we're going to play about 8 interviews are the questions, and if some of you are listening tonight, you may hear yourself. Remember, you gave us the right to play these interviews. We are not going to air your name. We have that on tape for legal purposes. So we got these individuals' permission to play these interviews over the air. We would never play anything that someone did not tell us that we had their permission to do that. Some of you that are Christians that are listening out there, you think that we've set people up. We haven't set them up. We just ask a basic question about doctrine and about what they heard. Now, if you have your Bibles handy, because when we come back, what we're going to do after we listen to Mr. Jakes, I am going to bring you a very quick impromptu Bible study on the text. And the text is, and you will hear Mr. Jakes give the text. The text is Genesis chapter 39, verse 6. And that's from whence his sermon was taken from. So why don't we listen to that spot right now?
The man standing, look at verse 6. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. We're going to pray in just a moment, and I want every heart to pray. The Lord has sent me halfway across the country to ask you a very significant question. It is significant because it is prophetic. It is prophetic because it will come to pass in your life. And there are certain things that you're going to have to do in order to be ready for this next move of God. There has been a rumbling in the spirit over your life because the enemy perhaps is more aware than you are of what God has in store for you. And you're going to have to prepare yourself for this next realm of glory that God is getting ready to take you to. As you step into it, you're going to see why you had to go through what you had to go through to get where you're going. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want to just talk to your heart for a little while tonight from the subject, can God trust you with favor? Can God trust you with favor? You're talking about favor, but the issue is, can God trust you with favor? We better pray.
Now, if you have your Bibles open and you turn to Genesis chapter 39, verse 6, I'll read the verse again. His subject matter is, can God trust you with favor? Reading from the King James Version, it says, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Now, can you be trusted with God's favor? So in essence, what T.D. Jakes was asking is, can you be trusted with being handsome? Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, yes, 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 yes. I'm going to read it from the New American Standard. Listen. And he says, he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge. And with him there, he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. It had absolutely nothing to do with being favored. Now, Mike, give the number because we want you folk to call us, because when you find me a liar, and if you're a preacher, you call me, preacher. Because what we're doing is we caught T.D. wrong. He preached the whole sermon and was asking a question, can you be trusted with the favor of God? And he used favor improperly. As a matter of fact, when you look at this in the King James, Mike, what's that number in case they would like to call?
The number to call is 1-888-LA-TALKS. That's 1-888-LA-TALKS.
Yeah, see, this is talk radio. This is Christian talk radio. You can talk with us. See, we're not going to shut you down like your pastors do. And we want you to go Sunday on Wednesday night for the prayer meeting and ask your preachers about this. Let them do some proper transliteration here.
You know, I've always had a problem reading the King James because before we got into the favor thing, I was trying to figure out what is saved bread.
Right.
He knew everything save bread. I'm saying, what does that mean? Right.
We don't even talk bread. Like that. You know, at least get a translation where the people can understand it. But if you're going to use the term favor, let's use it right. When it says that he was goodly, it means that Joseph was beautiful in shape and form, outline and figure, in appearance. When it says that he was favored here, it merely meant by sight and appearance what Potiphar saw in him. The man was a handsome man. And if you know anything about Hebrew exegesis, and if you know anything about following the next verse, that's why old lady Potiphar got the hots for Joseph, because he was so fine. It had nothing to do with him being in favor with God. If you want to use the correct scripture, and I have my Hebrew writings here right in front of me, you would have to go to verse 3. For it says, now his master saw that the Lord was with him. Potiphar saw that God was with Joseph, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight. There's the right rendering in verse 4. And because of his personal servant. See, he found favor because of what he was, and so he made him overseer over the house. Now let me read that. Of course, that's chapter 39, verse 2 of Genesis. Now, let me read verse 3 to you the way it would appear in the Hebrew. And he saw his master, that Yahweh with him, and all that he was doing, Yahweh making successful by his hand. And he found Joseph favor in his eyes. That's verse 3, not verse 6. So when T.D. goes down to verse 6, you see, Moses was merely saying in verse 6 that he was handsome. He was setting you up for the next cause that would let you know what old lady Potiphar would do. It had absolutely nothing to do with him having some kind of special favor. Now, you've got to listen to find out what's important tonight. And let's talk about this a little bit. What about these important aspects? The prosperity of Joseph in the house of his first master. He had a very extraordinary nature about him. He was a man who had everything going against him. A youth in his teens, torn from his family, from his homeland, helpless, all alone. And on top of that, he was made a slave in an idolatrous land. Secondly, his basis of his security. In other words, how was he raised? You will see how he was raised, because you can tell that in and during the day of his adversity, he was quiet, he was calm, he was reposed, he was trained to think with godly logic concerning the particular situation that he was in. He was totally confident, trusting in God at all times. What about his favor with God? Since we're talking about favor, we aren't talking about verse 6. We're talking about the kind of godly character. It was the grace of God that made his character what it was. This produced an energy for the good cause of his being, which sustained him for those people that didn't know God. In other words, that grace in the form of favor and blessing made Joseph prosperous. Let me give it to you like this. You don't get this by going to a T.D. Jakes sermon or to a big auditorium. You get this from being found in favor with God through a life of consistent Christian behavior. This does not necessarily hold the meaning of financially favored. It doesn't mean that Joseph was rich. It doesn't mean that God gave Joseph money and things. Joseph was like a tree that was planted by the rivers of flowing waters. Okay, he was robbed of all that society had, but he wasn't robbed of his God. There are some lessons that we learn from this particular text about Joseph, and I'm going to quickly go through this, and then we'll get into some phone calls and to some other things. The first lesson is that God's blessings and his grace is with his people. If you are godly, God's blessings are with you. You don't have to go to an auditorium to have this conferred upon you. When I became a Christian back in 1967, his blessings were conferred upon me by the actual fact of the new birth. Secondly, these same blessings and grace will be manifested to others. It doesn't happen after you go hear T.D. Jakes. Why do I go, man, when I see this guy on television, I see the expressions on people's faces like these Christians are hearing something for the first time in their lives. I wonder what you pastors are teaching you, your people out there. Thirdly, at times, God's blessings offers blessings in the lives of other people. That is the way God usually does that. And of course, fourthly, God is yet working out his designs, even though they seem to fail. Joseph seemed to be a failure, but God was working through the design. Now, we're going to deal with this, and we're going to let you hear some of the interviews in a little while. But I got one more statement, guys. Listen to this statement. And this is made by a theologian named Bush. He says, beauty of person, because that is when Potiphar looked to Joseph, he left everything that he owned to Joseph's charge. The only thing that Potiphar looked at was the food. Why? Because in those days, people were out to assassinate people with power. He had to look at his food. He didn't let Joseph handle his food. He had to handle the food that he ate because Potiphar wanted to stay alive. You heard about how they used to try to poison the kings and stuff like that. I mean, this was a rich Egyptian, and he had to survive. Here, Joseph is a Hebrew, a foreigner, living in a foreign land. But the boy happened to be smart because God was with him and favored him, not just to make Joseph prosperous and have money in his life, but to protect God's people some 300 years down the line after Egyptian captivity. God had a brighter plan than making Joseph prosperous. See, you Christians out there that just want a lot of money so that you can get a lot of goods, so you can take the sinner's money, you got to be quite out of your mind. God doesn't make you prosperous unless it makes him look good for a cause that is beyond where he is. Listen to this statement. Beauty of person and face is a quality which gains love. That's what happened to Potiphar. Potiphar saw...
All right. Now what's happening is that the tape is turning itself over, so let's let that happen, and we'll continue to listen. This is in 1997.
God doesn't make you prosperous unless it makes him look good for a cause that is beyond where he is. Listen to this statement. Beauty of person and face is a quality which gains love. That's what happened to Potiphar. Potiphar saw this man. He says, man, not only is this guy smart, but this guy is handsome. Listen to the rest of the statement. And it ought to make the professor of it thankful. Joseph knew he was fine. Joseph also knew he was smart. But listen to this latter part of this statement. But it usually, beauty that is, it usually proves a snare. Even though Joseph, brethren, was handsome, and even though him being, listen, let me give it to you like this. You got a business, and you have a receptionist, and you want to appeal to people. What kind of person are you going to put in that receptionist booth? What kind of person are you going to have greeting the people that come to your business? Are you going to put some big, obese, ugly, rude, inarticulate individual there trying to talk to people that you first come in contact with? I would say not. You're going to put that healthy, energetic, bright, handsome, or pretty person there that's going to smile because you have a business to move. So Potiphar was impressed with his outward beauty. But listen, it was Joseph's comfort that he was so beloved by his master. But it was also his misfortune that he was too well beloved by his mistress. And that's why it comes on down into verse 7. I would say to you preachers, if you're going to build an allegory about Joseph, let's build it right. And let's stop trying to take an illustration and say that the church is going to be prosperous with God and get a lot of money and have a lot of things. That is not what verse 6 was talking about. I checked T.D. Jakes. I find him wrong. And you need to call us if you're in agreement. And if you're not in agreement, why don't you call and debate us? Now, what we've done, because we're getting ready to go to a... Well, talk to me, Mike.
Wouldn't you get into a dispensationalism problem when you started crossing the favor of the Hebrew Joseph with the favor of the Christian today?
Oh, my God.
How would that work as far as dispensationalism is concerned?
It doesn't work because if you really look, and I preached about it from this morning in our sermon this morning in Matthew 5. Chapter 5, verse 12. For when Jesus says that when you're persecuted, you don't fight back. He says, you know, you are to rejoice when you're persecuted because he said they also persecuted the prophets. But Jesus said, great is your reward in heaven. Jesus never talks about you being prosperous and being rewarded in this life. It is always, in our particular dispensation, reward in the future, not reward now. And Joseph did not do anything for money for fame.
You might want to give the classic definition of what dispensationalism is for some of our newer listeners, because we use that term a lot, Pastor.
All right. Yes, we do. God worked during different dispensations to do different things. During the era of the Old Testament, there was no Holy Spirit dwelling in men's hearts. God was working first and fundamentally with individuals, causing things to happen to give them an illustration of what his greater purpose was on the planet. Since the Holy Spirit now comes and dwells in us, the Holy Spirit does not work the way he did back in the Old Testament time on those individuals. He's working in us. And in order to take Joseph and try to make him what we are is a tragedy. That is not the way you do biblical Christianity. And I'm not saying that we dump the Old Testament, but I think it's kind of crude to use Joseph in that way. Now listen, we're about ready to go into a break. And after we come back, we do want you to call 1-888-LA-TALKS, and you can speak with us. Some of you have been calling in and you've hung up. That's all right. We want to hear from you. But when we come back, we're going to have some interviews, and we'll discuss those interviews, and we want you to join in. You're listening to...
And remember, don't call the numbers, because this is a recording of a radio presentation that was given back in August of 1997 when I had my own radio presentation. This radio ministry was hijacked by a bunch of crooks because they had to shut me up. But let's continue to listen. Wow. This is exciting just to think about what the church has become today.
Have you sent in your financial support to keep Living by the Word on the air?
I'm going to. I called you last week. I told you, I'm telling you something. I'm getting ashamed.
If you're one of our faithful listeners who thinks that someone else will send in enough money to cover what you don't send in, get that thought out of your mind.
You don't have to, the Spirit of the Lord has been working on convicting me. You don't have to convict me.
If we don't hear from you financially on a consistent basis, you might tune in one Sunday night and hear something like this.
Hashata. Katabusha karabashindoroshkata. No.
If Living by the Word Ministries has been a blessing to you and a tool for learning and maturing in God's Word, send that check or money order to Living by the Word, P.O. Box 43967, Los Angeles, California, 90043. If you don't mind, please send a photo of yourself in with your donation. We want to see who our friends and supporters are. Any amount is appreciated. Just send it to Living by the Word, P.O. Box 43967, Los Angeles, California, 90043.
So I've got my check made out. I'm going to mail it as soon as I get paid, so it's not insufficient funds.
Thank you for supporting Living by the Word Ministries.
Welcome back to Living by the Word. This is Pastor John Coleman. Mike and Elsie are in the booth with me. And brothers, what we're going to do, why don't you explain a little bit, Mike, what happened that night?
Well, first of all, I just want to say to Brother Tony, we did get your call. We know you couldn't stay on the line. You were working. But when we invite the people who are preaching these things and they can't come on, we don't have a problem with the layman coming on. If you believe in what a particular person is preaching, then the invitation is for you as well. So if T.D. Jakes is in Texas and you stand firmly behind what he's preaching, then you, by all means, come on the show. We don't have a problem with that at all. We're just not into getting the name on the show. If you believe in it, call us up at the ministry and say, I'll go on and I'll back up what I learned.
Oh, great, yeah. Man. That is great.
I'd love to have you.
Yeah, that. Listen, as a matter of fact, what a challenge to have somebody that's going to come in and speak for the man.
As a matter of fact.
That's great.
Call our office right now, and we'll set you up to come in next week.
Absolutely.
The number to call is 213-292-4415. And, just let Brother Ralph know that, hey, you want to come on, you're bringing your Bible, and you want to defend what you heard, or if you watch T.D. Jakes every Sunday on that boob tube network.
Right.
You come on, and bring the Bible, and let's discuss it.
Yeah, and we'll even discuss any topic that you want to discuss, because, brother, what we're bringing is open Bibles. And you know what we'll do? We'll meet you at our ministry office or at a neutral place if you don't want to come there, and we'll review your scriptures and let you review the ones that we're going to use. And we're coming straight from the hip, from the Bible. Now, if you don't have any training in theology, don't play with me. because I'm going to cut you wide to the quick with the word of God. I'm not playing with this issue.
And it's not about embarrassing you on the radio.
Right.
Don't be scared, because we're going to talk about this beforehand. You may teach us something, or we may teach you something, and we may decide that there's even not a need for the show.
Right.
And so we won't. It's not about you're going to get embarrassed on the radio. You're going to know what we're going to say.
Right. And you're going to know this, that the Bible only has one interpretation to it, not two, not three, not four. And if I can't prove it, then living by the word is a lie. Listen, why don't we listen to the first interview that we had, and I want you folk to listen very closely as you listen to this first interview, and we'll be back to discuss it, and then we'll start taking your calls.
What did you expect when you came tonight?
I expected Bishop Jakes to bring forth the word of God, to represent the Lord through his word that he's sharing and delivering this evening. And I expected people to be healed. I expected miracles to take place, yokes to be broken.
Did you see that tonight?
I believe that that occurred. I didn't personally speak to anyone in terms of yokes being broken and people being healed, but I know he brought forth the word of God, the undiluted word of God, and that did happen, and that was met my expectation.
Okay. Speaking from Genesis 39 about favor, how do you see that when he used scripture, how can you interpret favor in your life? In other words, what was the application that you got from Genesis 39 regarding favor in your life from God?
Well, the Lord has always blessed me. I've always had favor with him. And I was speaking to another sister day before yesterday about this very thing. And sometimes we don't know why the Lord has chosen us to favor us, but then he has given much and he expects much from us that he has given much. And so I see that as an opportunity for me to share, to do more with the talent and the skills and the abilities and any financial resources that I have for my fellow man that hasn't been blessed as much. So I see, you know, what he brought forth in terms of the word, I see as a way for me to continue to carry on that what he shared today. I love it.
Thank you very much.
Now, what we want to do, brothers, is let's discuss this a little bit, and then we'll invite some other folk to enter into the discussion with us. She was saying a lot of things, but there was nothing really tied together, and then she did not address the issue about the terms of favor in verse 6.
You know what? I had that problem when I was out there a lot. I would ask a direct question.
Yeah.
And people would kind of skip around the issue.
Right.
And I really don't understand that. When you ask a direct question, you don't get the direct answer. It's usually like a cliche, you know, he's given much, you know, what's much. It's like, okay, fine, you're quoting from the Bible about this, but give me a direct answer.
They're using religious terms, but it's not quite connected. And ladies and gentlemen, we've listened to these interviews over and over and over again, objectively trying to figure out what these people are saying. And so what's happening is, since we can't figure out what they're saying, the inevitable question is, what did they just hear? Elsie.
And also, like Mike, I also experienced asking people, can you please give me scripture? I said, has God answered this question before you came to the auditorium? Has God already told us and we find favor?
Yeah.
And can you give me a scripture? And a lot of people just told me, well, I don't have any scripture right now.
Oh, right, because you see, oh, and here's a greater question, gentlemen, and maybe we'll get someone to call in and attempt to answer this for us. Would God use or give another meaning to scripture other than he intended to give it? You see, that's a serious question there, because if it did not mean favor the way T.D. was using it, how could the Holy Spirit use that to make anything happen in anyone's life?
Right.
It's a disjointed kind of theological concept, and if God is into that, then he is no longer immutable. He changes at the whim of the person that makes up the illustration. Let's go to our first call and see what they have to say. This is very interesting. Robert from Long Beach, thank you for calling.
How you doing?
Fine, brother.
Yes, I happened to catch T.D. Jakes last night on late night television. I was surfing the channel and happened to turn it on channel 40, and
yeah. Yeah, that's where you see him.
Yes, and he was given the message that you don't have to be have cancer like your parents, you know, to that effect.
What he did today on Channel 40 in the afternoon, I was watching him. I was really napping, and my wife woke me up and said, "Here's your friend." And and he was on there talking about Samson, something to the effect of Samson and Delilah. And he was saying that was not just Delilah. Delilah is when you can't get a job, when things aren't going right, when your finances aren't right. Delilah, he says, take many forms. And I said, oh, my God, this man is talking mysticism now.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe what he was saying. And when I looked out and saw those beautiful African-American brothers hee-hawing and giving in to it, I'm saying, wait a minute, did somebody just see what he did?
Yeah.
You see, my brother, this is why we do what we do. When you hear someone say something, and when when it says that Delilah wasn't only Delilah, but Delilah is this for you and that for you, well, then someone has to stop and say, how does this take place?
Exactly.
You see, my brother, and so when you have people doing that, that is a worse form of so-called Bible teaching, and it's not biblical.
Yes, I think, Pastor, that many Christians aren't in tune to the Word. They haven't rooted and grounded themselves in the Word.
Right.
Maybe they have the basics about what salvation is all about, but to me, when I first got saved back in 1979, I was a new believer. I was a babe in Christ, and I really didn't have anybody to disciple me.
Right.
And what happened was I was watching TV, and so I got into watching Kenneth Copeland, all the faith teachers,
right?
Fred Price.
Yes.
You know, but deep down inside, they were always talking about materialism.
They have ulterior
to the flesh.
They have ulterior motives of doing their ministry. The motive is not to bring glory to God.
Exactly.
The motive is to bring glory to man. And that is not what we are called to do as believers. We are to deny ourselves. All right?
Right.
And when we deny ourselves, we come into a living relationship with the God of the Bible. Listen, thank you for your call, brother. We got a lot of calls. We want to get to them.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Robert. Yeah, Mike.
Come on, Pastor. You're a preacher.
Yeah.
I'm a preacher.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Isn't that a particular style of preaching? I mean, the allegory. Is he going too far, or how can... I mean, you got preachers sitting out there right now, and some of you preachers are saying, oh, he's just using allegories. Where does it stop, or how does that work? Can he do that? Can he say that Delilah is this and Delilah is that?
Right, because someone would say that every text, every scripture has one meaning, but many applications. What would you say to that?
Ah, interesting. Scripture has one meaning, but the application has to be within the context of which it was written. In other words, the writer that wrote it was writing it to an audience in the century that he wrote it. Beyond the 20 centuries, it has not lost its original meaning. If the scripture loses its original meaning through the centuries, then it ceases to be the scriptures and it cannot be inerrant. It becomes mystical. It becomes concept inspiration. You guys took that in basics.
Mm-hmm.
Concept inspiration and all these other kinds of things. Since the scriptures cannot change its original meaning, and it doesn't matter in which audience reads it, it meant what it meant when the guy penned it. And so it can't change its meaning.
So the pastor, teacher, whoever he is, that uses that application that is out of the actual meaning, out of context, he cannot, that is not sound doctrine. He cannot use that application.
It is not sound doctrine, and he is using it for his own means. And Gary from Moreno Valley, thank you for calling. What's up, Gary?
How are you doing, Pastor?
Pretty good, brother.
I was just listening to you earlier, and just reflecting back on that sixth verse in that 39th chapter.
Yes, sir.
Totally. It's eisegetical.
Yes.
As I told the guy that I was talking to earlier.
Yes, and for the ones that are listening on the radio, eisegesis is when you put what your meaning is into the text instead of biblical exegesis, that you take the original meaning out of it. Thank you for that, Gary.
Yeah. I was wondering also if this was due to the Harvest Fire, a crusade concert or whatever it may have been. I've been to a Church of the Harvest, Clarence McClendon's church, before.
Yes.
And been in there many, many times. I don't know, you know, basically what went on at the Olympic Auditorium that particular or those nights.
You can order the tapes by T.D. Jakes, and I think listening to the tape, you will be able to. As a matter of fact, they're even selling the audio. I mean, the video, you can see what went on.
Oh, really?
And you see, and it's not a point that we're reporting improperly. What we're doing is we are investigating what we reported.
Right.
And you see, and that's what the church needs to do. Bible says that judgment begins at the house of God. But nobody wants to talk about this stuff.
Right.
You know, you can go to an auditorium, you can have 5,000 folk going through some traumatic situations there, but nobody wants to give a pure explanation to it.
Right.
Well, that is what we do. That is what we do, and that is what God has called us to do. And we're saying that there's something pretty rotten in Denmark. Now, I'm saying that, now look, I'm not judging the guy's heart. I'm judging the guy's words.
Right.
The scripture doesn't mean that. He needs to come back and say, I was wrong. And the church needs to make him say, I was wrong. And if the church doesn't do it, the church is going to buy into this favor bit. And you can look at the text and see that Potiphar wasn't looking at Joseph's favor there. The favor was in verses 3 and 4, not in verse 6. Some may say, why do you keep doing that, John? Because if they can do it to you in this one verse, they'll do it to you in any verse.
Yeah, you're totally right. But you've been a pastor, you know, a great man of God. If you took a scripture out of context down the road, would you yourself come back to your congregation and say, hey, look, you know, I blew it here?
Of course I would. Of course I would.
So let me ask you something. Do you think T.D. Jakes would tell his congregation he was just wrong what he did that night or spoke of?
I would have to figure out where the guy went to school and then ask him personally, where did you study that under, and, you know, what is your intention on teaching this? It's
right.
Very important. Listen, thank you for your call, my brother.
Thank you.
God bless you. Yeah, Mike. Okay, what we want to do is we want to take line one. We're going to say hello to Lee from Compton. Hi, Lee.
Yes, Pastor John.
Thank you for calling tonight.
Okay. That same scripture, Genesis 39 and 6. Okay, and it's going to come then and says, and Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored, right?
Yes.
This word goodly, what does that mean?
Well, let's go back over that again. Were you listening to me earlier?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, what I did is I was quoting directly from, as a matter of fact, most of you have this program. I have a laptop in front of me, and I went into Goodly from the King James into the Logos Bible program in Hebrew, and it means that he was beautiful to look at.
Okay, it means goodly. Okay, then why would it say it twice? If Joseph was goodly...
Twice where, sir? Twice where?
Just a moment.
Twice where? You said twice. Twice where?
Okay, you said favor means twice.
No. I said twice where. What verse are you reading from?
I'm reading from the sixth verse.
All right.
And it said, and well-favored. And you said the word favor meant beautiful.
No, that's in the King James.
Yes.
That's in the King James. Favored, mm-hmm. Favored means in appearance, it means by sight or vision that he was favored. And in the most accurate translation, the translation says, now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance.
Okay.
That's what it says. You're reading the King James.
Yes, I'm
reading the King James. It's a poor translation for that particular verse. That's what we're saying.
I understand.
And when you look at the Hebrew, it doesn't mean favor the way we use it in the English language.
Okay, so we're saying two times, then listen to me for a minute. It said, and Joseph was goodly, which means beautiful, beautiful person, and, well, beautiful again.
This is how it reads in the Hebrew for you.
Thank mm-hmm. you. Read it to him.
So he left. Here's from the original Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
So he left all which to him in the hand of Joseph, and not he knew with him anything except only the bread that he eating, and he was Joseph, handsome of form
mm-hmm.
and handsome of appearance.
That's all it
there
is.
There are your goodly and favorite terms used.
Handsome
of
form
and handsome of appearance.
That's all it means. It has nothing to do with him having a special favor with God. That is our contention, sir.
Okay, so does that say the same thing in Exodus 2 and 2 then?
We are not going to Exodus 2 and 2. We are only dealing with the text that Mr. Jakes used, sir.
Okay.
We are not going over the whole Bible, but we do thank you for that.
Okay.
Thank you now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you see, and that's what we want to do, ladies and gentlemen. What we want to do is deal with the man's statement. Talking about that. Let's quickly go to line 3 and say hello to George in Laguna Miguel. Thank you for calling.
Good to hear from you, Pastor.
Thank you, sir.
You know, I heard what you were talking about earlier, and I went and brought up Strong's Concordance.
Good for you.
And you're right.
The word of the Bible,
really.
Right.
The Bible's
really,
right.
Where it
yeah.
talks about favor.
Right.
You look the word up in the Strong's.
Yes.
And it speaks of an appearance, the thing seen.
Of course.
Whether a shape, especially if handsome.
Say it.
Or comeliness.
Yes, sir. That's all it means.
Now check this out, George. What if all 5,000 people in that auditorium were good Bereans,
right,
and they went home and they all pulled out their Strongs and said, wait a minute, you were wrong, Mr. Jakes.
Right.
You were wrong. We're
right.
calling you at the Potter's House to come back.
That's right.
And tell us you were wrong.
He is wrong. He lied.
Mm-hmm.
And since he lied to people in my community that I love, and I think that he owes our community an apology. And I also think that the pastor of that church that invited him need to call him and ask him to come back and do that.
Yeah, because I was there, and Mr. McClinton was, can I use the term, he was co-signing for everything that Mr. Jakes was
Absolutely.
Saying.
Absolutely.
He had to be, in my opinion, in full agreement with the terms used and the way it was applied.
Now, that's
and
what
if,
we, go ahead,
and
sir.
And if he said something was wrong here, to his responsibility, say, hey, wait a minute, Mr. Jakes, this is not right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, thank you for your call, my brother. Gotta go. Thank you for the call. Man, what? You see, guys?
1 hour already.
That's 1 hour already. But when we come back, we have more interviews because, and we want to hear from you. Why don't you give them the number, Mike?
The number to call is 1-888.
And again, you don't have to call that number because, wow, that is just the first hour. Can you believe that? Back in 1997, I was paying for 2 hours a show. We were on for 2 hours. We tried to do it in 1 hour things, but we couldn't get it done. It was a most exciting time in my life as a pastor. And I was not very popular. As a matter of fact, you can only imagine that the Fred Prices, the Word Faith people, and if I, you know, really took my time and did some statistical analysis, I would be able to let you know how those ministries are doing today. I don't think they're doing very well, not as well as they were doing, because they were tricking everybody in America. And when the tricksters started to take over and to monopolize people's minds in the black community, I just went off. So thank you for tuning in for the first hour. Stay tuned. Hour number two is coming up shortly.